Welcome to the Louisiana Sugarcane News Podcast, brought to you by the American Sugarcane League. I'm your host, Sam Irwin. Dr. Brenda Tubanya is an LSU Ag Center research scientist. Today, she talks about remote sensing technology and its application in improving nitrogen use efficiency in sugarcane.
Sugarcane, sweet sugarcane, the sweetness of our southern trees. Sugarcane, sweet sugarcane.
Here's Brenda.
I want to talk about what's the nitrogen research. So there is a two-part discussion. First, what we call this nitrogen response trial. This is simply validating our current nitrogen recommendations. So basically, you probably know about how we change the use of our sugarcane varieties every year. So every 5 years, maybe we have 540B, the most prevalent variety, and then, 299 now, I think it's becoming a dominant variety usage in the sugarcane acreage in Louisiana. So the idea of the response study that we're trying to do, which is basically putting out different nitrogen rates, 0, 40, 80, 120 in spring, and then measuring the yield at harvest time, cane tonnage and sugar yield. We want to know whether the current recommendation that LSU Ag Center is providing to producer is valid, because different varieties have different efficiencies, and plus if you have different production technologies, that may alter the nitrogen requirement as well. So far, this is a way for us to make sure we deliver a good recommendation system for nitrogen. And it's continuous. It's independent of the variable rate technology that we're using remote sensors to help us gauge the nitrogen requirement of sugarcane. Unlike the response trials that we've been doing, where we just recommend a uniform application rate of nitrogen, with the use of variable rate technology and remote sensor, producer will be able to dispense or apply nitrogen on a need basis in the field. Now, the remote sensor has this capability to utilize the light that is actually reflected, not reflected, but the light coming out from the sensor system to target the plant or sugarcane canopy, and the light reflected back to it will be transformed into a number called NDVI, which is basically a measure of how green and how much this green biomass is present on a certain field of view or area. So that itself will be used to help producers to modulate or regulate the amount of nitrogen fertilizer that we're using. So, when you look at the handout I've given there, there's a diagram where the enriched strip is shown where Mr. Keith Dugas was standing. So this enriched strip is a reference for us to tell whether there is a response to nitrogen fertilizer or not for that specific year. So I asked the audience that time, if you see that nitrogen rich popping out from the field, that tells you that there is a requirement for nitrogen fertilizer application. And so the sensor will tell you how much it is needed. So the variable rate technology and remote sensing system will sense and treat on the go. So when you look at the field map where the sensor provides different NDVI reading, the corresponding map on the right side, which I provided the handout on, show what exactly the nitrogen fertilizer applied to it. So you can see different colors that there are different nitrogen of rate applied. So this technology allows the producers to be able to distribute the right amount of nitrogen in their field where it is needed, and, it makes it the efficiency higher. And part of the discussion I made on that presentation is a demonstration study that we did from 2013 to 2015, where we have different locations including Douglas's site there, where we tested the performance of barbell rate technology and remote sensing systems compared to the farmer standard and practice. Okay, the farmer standard and practice is the uniform application of nitrogen, which could range from 60 to 120 pounds per acre, and it's uniformly applied regardless of the field condition, whether you have a homogeneous or uneven stand in the field. Now, you can see from that table that there were higher returns from using this technology as opposed to farmer standard practice. And looking at the total amount of return, we're talking about $166 per acre in Douglas site. In Gravois site, it's as much as $315 per acre increase in return compared to the farmer standard practice. And at one of the strip trials we had at the sugar research station, it was about $27 per acre higher return compared to farmer standard practice. When we broke that down, where this increases in profit coming from is because across those three sites where we did the demonstration studies, you can see a constant decline in nitrogen rec and nitrogen fertilizer use. The reduction ranged from 18% to 49% lower nitrogen applied in the field. But you don't see any reduction in yield. Of course, with the exception of that one site where we had a noted 1.4 reduction in sugar yield. But to think about 50% savings of fertilizer, that offset that yield loss, making a positive $27 return higher than the farmer standard practice. So we see the value of this technology being able to enhance the profit and then at the same time increase nitrogen use efficiency in sugarcane production in Louisiana. So what does that mean other than the economic value? That means lesser amount of nitrogen fertilizer is wasted in the field, and that will definitely reduce the risk of losing this nitrogen fertilizer to nearby bodies of water, and that may pollute our system, right? So we thought that this technology is really helpful in addressing the economic and environmental issue with excessive fertilization of nitrogen. And the next study that I talked about is the soil research. And Sam, if you have any question, you can interrupt me.
Let me do interrupt you right now just so I can review. And I'm thinking maybe a good title for this little episode would be, this is an experimental technology. It's not widespread, but you're testing to see how well it works and what you could recommend for a farmer. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is already at the stage that the technology is ready for usage. The demonstration is just to show how, the performance. Mm-hmm. This is almost on the producer's scale, because you're talking about the plot size that is as high as almost like an acre-sized plot size and a well-replicated. So the demonstration study is just to show the performance of this technology, which is developed already. If this is ready for it, by farmers.
Are many farmers using it yet?
No, not yet. At this stage, when you conduct your research, you prove it works, then the bottleneck is having it spread out and make sure it's adopted. And sometimes that's where we could use some help from the extension agents and for specialists in extension, like a sugarcane extension specialist, to be able to do an outreach program, to deliver this new information. Because research is one thing, but extension or making this technology adopted is another thing.
Yeah.
But what we did so far just showed that this technology will work. I mean, looking at the success, we're probably 80% of the time that variable rate technology and remote sensing will bring higher return to producer and higher nitrogen use efficiency.
So maybe a title for this could be using remote sensing to reduce nitrogen costs or nitrogen application?
Well, I would say
What would you say would be a good title?
For me, I would throw in the use of variable rate technology and remote sensing system to improve nitrogen fertilizer use efficiency in sugarcane production.
That's too long a title. Make it short.
Or maybe one of remote sensing improved nitrogen use efficiency.
Okay. What I'm doing here is I'm creating, maybe a short 10-minute podcast that I'm going to make available. And, whoever in the whole world is interested in remote sensing improvement for nitrogen use efficiency, they'll be sure to tune in.
Yeah. If you type nitrogen use efficiency in Google, you'll start seeing a lot of work on remote sensing. Not only but in corn and wheat and cotton.
I'm guessing this is one of the ways that using drones to fly over your field, it's a way that, we're just starting to figure out ways how we can use that drone technology to measure things on the ground.
I'm glad you brought it up, because the drone is another platform to use. Apart from the ground-based sensor that you can install together with the variable rate technology, a drone equipped with the right camera can also generate prescriptions, and these prescriptions can be used for variable rate technology of nitrogen fertilizer.
Yeah.
It's just that it's a different way of acquiring the information. We see the drone equipped with the camera, probably powerful in terms of the speed and the coverage, because this definitely can, you fly a drone, you can cover several acres, you generate the prescription map, and these are geotagged images that you can also feed into the variable rate technology. They have the computer system, and that will, that applicator will run as guided by those map that it's generated from the images taken from the camera.
Yeah. This is the best part of my job, because I hear in your voice that you're real excited about this research you're doing, and I talk to artists and writers and musicians and stuff, and it's the same excitement that I hear from them with the scientists, which is, people say, oh, scientists, they're always just, mad scientists doing this and that. But I can hear the excitement in your voice about you're excited about this.
You can tell from the faces of my grad students, and let's say we went to a field and you have different treatments introduced to the field, and we saw differences or response to the treatments. My face just lightened up, and I can see that the treatment, it's affecting, the behavior, the growth of the crop in question. And that makes me excited, because it gives me an opportunity to be able to evaluate what can we do to avoid such problem arising in the field. Let's say if there's nitrogen deficiency, you can see light color plant, weak, short, and it just excites me. Not in a way I'm happy to see a plant suffering, but being able to see creating this treatment reflecting what the plant, what happens to plant whenever you have such conditions in the field. And so this will give us an opportunity to evaluate what can we do to correct it.
Yeah.
And like you said, the passion is there. You can get so emotional sometimes. The second topic of my talk during that field day was about sulfur. And we did a lot of sulfur research in the past, but it hasn't been this aggressive since 2 years ago. And we put up a lot of sulfur study as well.
There's less sulfur in the air because we've reduced pollution over the last 50 years. And that's what I've learned. Okay. All right,
exactly.
So we're talking about sulfur. All right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's fine. And like I said, the direction of research all of a sudden changed with respect to understanding sulfur now because of this, the Clean Air Act. And you see when we distributed that image during the field day showing a map back in 1986, you can see a large sulfate deposition in the eastern part of the United States, and that can be as high as 24 kilograms per hectare per year, which is substantially enough to meet the crop requirements. And so when you look at the 2012, there's not much deposition, only a few spots receiving, I would think, about more than 20 kilograms per hectare of sulfate per year. So now we have more cases of sulfur deficiency, and Louisiana is no exception to that. And, you know, the function of sulfur is very essential. We talked about it being sulfur composition of the amino acids and the plant required for enzyme production and even chlorophyll synthesis. So it's actually essential for the assimilation of nitrogen itself. So you don't want sulfur become deficient because it will have a cascade effect on nitrogen nutrition of sugarcane. So that I see is a very important role of sulfur in sugarcane production. So what we did in the past is we just conduct a simple response study where we put out different rates of sulfur. And what we have so far is a good response, significant to many of them. And this is just with the application of 20 pounds of sulfur per acre. And we even have as high as 1,000 pounds increase in sugar yield. We saw that last year, and we think that this is really a great opportunity for us to revisit our research on sulfur, not only on the sources, but also on the application rate. I think I mentioned that Rich Johnson put up a study last year where he has as much as, I think, 75 pounds of sulfur per acre as one of the rates. And he did get a response with that application rate. This is an indicator that it is possible that we might be needing more sulfur than what we are finding right now. And this calls for further research that we have to revisit our calibration work on sulfur at the same time, the way we measure sulfur in the soil. Because at the moment, we measure it using the Medicare procedure where we quantify sulfate. But thinking about it, sulfate is a mobile nutrient in the soil system. So whatever we measure right now, let's say I come to the field, measure sulfate, and then the next day we get 3 inches of rain, we're not going to get the same sulfate level in the soil because most of them are removed down or outside the root zone of sugarcane, which classified as leached sulfate. Or out of the root zone. So right now it's critical that we pursue not only the sources that we can use to apply sulfur to sugarcane, we need to revisit recommendation rate and at the same time the testing procedure that will give us a better understanding of the sulfur nutrition of sugarcane for the entire growing season. So that was what I talked about in the sulfur research during the field day.
The Louisiana Sugarcane News Podcast is brought to you by the American Sugarcane League. I'm your host, Sam Irwin. Thank you for listening.
Sugarcane, sweet sugarcane, the sweetness of our southern trees. Sugarcane, sweet sugarcane. Fireflies in the jasmine scented breeze. There's a little shade beneath this tree. Shields me from relentless heat. An afternoon shower possibly. But then the temperatures increase. The men are working in the fields. And trucks are loaded with that amazing tree. Sugarcane, sweet sugarcane, the sweetness of our southern dreams. Sugarcane, sweet sugarcane, and fireflies in the jasmine scented breeze.